Well, good evening, church. All right. I'm Brother Hank Anderson, and I'm from Bible Baptist Church in Elmont, New York. And just a quick biography, born and bred Long Islander, lived there my whole life. I joined the New York City Police Department in 1986. I retired in January 2006. I attained the rank of lieutenant. I was saved in my early 20s, so I was blessed with being a Christian and being a police officer. That made my job so much easier. And towards the end of my career, I just felt God's calling to ministry, and I just wasn't sure what direction, you know, being a pastor or an evangelist or a preacher or a missionary. And I just heard him say, go back to the cops. And he also told me to get a Bible education. So I enrolled in Charity Baptist Bible Institute and Seminary in Dayton, Ohio. And I think that's where maybe Brother Dave might have gone to that school also. Yeah, that's Dave Spurgeon's home church. I preached there last year. And so I'm almost done with school. They have a three-year program. Probably be done this month. I just have to type an 8,000-word paper. I've got 7,000 words. I've got to, and I type like this, you know, so it's like N-A, you know. And like I said, I got the Bible education. I just heard the Lord say, go back to the cops. When you add the New York City Police, Nassau County Police, Suffolk County Police, New York State Troopers, Northern New Jersey, Southern Connecticut, Westchester, you've got around 50,000 law enforcement police officers just within an hour of my house. That, and to me, that's being a missionary. Cops have a special need. They're a tough bunch of guys and gals. They do think they're above the law. They're hard and stubborn. They, like as I told one brother, they're right on the fence between upholding the law and breaking the law. And it is a tough job. They're in a lot of situations. They're put in that situation. But remember, they're ordained of God. And I make fun of them and stuff, but they're still here to uphold the law. And I believe that if a police officer, whether he's a man or a woman, if that cop can get saved, and as he grows and matures in the Lord, he'll make a better cop, he'll make a better husband, he'll make a better wife, he'll make a better citizen, and more importantly, I think he'll even make a better church member. The whole problem is getting him in the church. That's the hard part. And that's where I feel I come in with the ministry. I go to police stations, I meet them on the field, I have a website. And I'm not looking to start a church. What I'm trying to do is between New York City and Long Island and all of that, I have a network of churches. In fact, your church is on my website if you've ever visited. I tell cops that live in Staten Island to go to First Bible Church here in Staten Island. This is the church where I'd like to see police officers. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to show a slideshow. Now, normally what I do is when I'm out of state, I'll sort of drag it on a little bit because there's a lot of little, you know, pictures in New York City and stuff because they, oh, wow, ooh, you know, when you're in Alabama preaching, you know, the Empire State Building is like big and important, but probably half the church here sees that building every day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fast forward a little bit on the slideshow just so I preach a little longer. And then when I'm out of state, I'll show the slideshow a little longer, but I'll preach a little shorter. So hopefully you'll get that. I'll take a few questions. And so if you want to dim the lights, we'll start up with the slideshow. Got my assistant right here. Whoa. Okay. All right. How's that? Okay. All right. This is a friend to the Police Baptist Ministries, Evangelist Hank Anderson, retired NYPD lieutenant. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And that's Proverbs 18:24 from the King James Bible. And you have my personal information there, cell phone, webpage, friendtothepolice.com, my email, my sending church, Bible Baptist Church in Elmont, New York. And that's my pastor, James Barker. And there's the church information. All that stuff will be on the little cards on the table. And if you want to go on the website as well. This is a picture of my family. That's my wife on the right. Her name is Sook. That's my oldest son, Josh. He's 20. He's in the United States Navy down in Pensacola, Florida. And that's my younger son, Calvin, who is 15 and is now taller than all of us. And, yes, that is my wife wearing a fur coat. And, no, I did not buy that for her. She's got a rich sister that Hey, I'm against women wearing fur coats anyway. I belong to the PETA group, you know, people eating tasty animals, you know that, right? But no, she's been barking up that tree for 20 years for a fur coat, and I just said no way. So she finally got a sister by one. She couldn't be here tonight. My son Calvin is at church. They have a youth group work camp in West Virginia, and they've got this big important meeting, and so they're there tonight at that. So, and just pray for my son Josh. He's in the Navy. He's in intelligence school right now, and he's going to be being shipped off to Japan in a few months. This is my church, Bible Baptist Church. It used to be a fish market, and they converted it to a church now. It's in a nice location, big street. That's the church building right there. Now, here we go. This is the part when I'm in Alabama. And here's New York City, you know. But this is the Empire State Building, and there's the picture of the New York City skyline. And you might be saying, and this is the Brooklyn Bridge. You might say, why are you showing these pictures of the New York City and all the important sites? Well, since 9/11, these have become, quote, terrorist targets, Statue of Liberty, and usually there'll be police officers there. And I've gone to these locations because I'll know there'll be a half a dozen police officers. I know they can't go anywhere. That's called a fixed post. They can't go anywhere for 12 hours. So what do I get to do? Give them Bibles and talk about Jesus for a little while. And I tell them I'm a retired lieutenant, and that usually doesn't get me kicked out right away. So I have a pastor friend in Ohio. He loves Pepsi Cola. So when I preach this church, I got this big Pepsi Cola sign for him. And it's Rockefeller Center. And again, remember Rockefeller Center, Radio City, you're always going to see police officers. Whenever I go into New York City, whether it's on the ministry or if I've got, something to do or whatever, I always bring these police packages, which I'm going to show you later. Why? Because I know there's going to be police officers there. And I just show the subway because I spent my first 8 years riding the 7 train and the 8 train and as a New York City transit officer. And then Mayor Giuliani merged the departments, and then we became the NYPD, the big mega department. Here's a picture of Yankee Stadium. This is, again, for my Ohio crowd. This is the Big O, that's Ohio State. I got that off of eBay. They thought it was kind of neat, you know. But, again, all these big locations and stuff, you're gonna find, they actually have what's called the Coney Island Detail, which they have probably 100 officers assigned just to that estuary land area. Why? Because it's money generating. There's a lot of people, a lot of tourists, a lot of people go to the beach and stuff, and they want the police protection. There's a picture of the Twin Towers. And I always get the question, was I there that day? Yes, I was. I finished the midnight shift. I went home. I started my landscaping business because, you know, New York City police were all underpaid at the time. And I had a second business. And I told my wife, I said, they're probably going to activate us. And if they do, call me up. And about 10 o'clock, they activated us, and by 3 o'clock, I was at the Twin Towers, and I spent the next 3 weeks there, 12-hour shifts. You know, the only time, this is a picture of Ground Zero now. It was actually taken back in the fall. They've probably built it up a little bit. You know, the only time that I was actually ever was in the Twin Towers was the day that I got notified that I got accepted to the New York City Police Department because their investigation officers were right across the street at the time. And afterwards, me and another recruit said, hey, let's go to lunch at Windows of the World. That was the only time that I was ever actually at the Twin Towers until they were struck in 2001. And here's the 2001 World Trade Center cross. And this is a friend of mine. Mike, you might know him. This is Mike Collingwood at a Bible Believers Baptist Church in Pottstown, Pennsylvania. He came down to visit, and I showed him around. And they, since 9/11, they painted these murals on some of the buildings. I think that's kind of neat. It's better than looking at some of this other junky graffiti and stuff that's out there. We just took a few photos. This is actually by Roosevelt Avenue and I think 70th Street. Well, God will bless New York. I don't think New York City is blessing God, though, except for good churches like here and some other like-minded churches. Well, if God can save Brooklyn, he can save anyone. You know that. Now, I always wanted to know, is this Jesus saves or is this Jesus saves? I'm hoping that it's Jesus saves. But I'm just taking some graffiti photos. And here's the patch of the New York City Police Department. Remember this a few months ago? This was the bicycle that rode past, and they threw a little portable bomb or whatever. It went off right to the left of that building right there. This is the used to be the Army, Navy, Marine recruiting building, and now it's a substation for the New York City Police Department. And it's just some photos. This is Chinatown. This is down by Macy's. Police cruiser. This is for our recruit here. This is what you'll look like probably in a few months. This is at Madison Square Garden. The academy usually graduates around 2,000 officers every 6 months. I guess depending on how many officers they want to hire, but that's typically the way the trends have been going, because a lot of guys like me that started in the 80s and early 90s are now retiring, and they've got to keep replacing them. Well, not everybody likes the NYPD, I'll tell you that, but, you know, that's life, I guess. And no, I don't think the NYPD is a political Gestapo either. It's, you know, we may kick someone once in a while, hit them with our nightstick, but we're not the Gestapo. This lady, obviously, was breaking the law, and she was placed under arrest. And here we got the parades and stuff. You can see the police officers down to the lower right with the yellow green vest. And like again, as I tell the crowds in the churches that I preach at, wherever there's an event. In fact, today was the Israeli parade, and also the I think there was one other parade, maybe Puerto Rican. No, what's that? Yeah, Puerto Rican Day Parade also. Wherever there's parades, you're always going to find cops. And my son, who is half Korean, last year they had the Korean Day Parade, and he was invited to march in it with his Taekwondo martial arts group. I brought 25 Bibles, and within 10 minutes, I had handed them all out. And that's what's neat about the ministry. You can see the officer standing there in the middle. And, Times Square, New Year's Eve. It's a lot better now than when I started. Back in the 80s and 90s, it was 2 million people that were drinking for 10 hours that had to go to the bathroom, and there was nowhere to go. And there was broken glass all over the place. Now it's a lot more cleaner. This is the West Indian Day Parade. This is a parade that I worked at for many years, because I worked in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn, the last 8 years. And that's in the Brooklyn South area. So we always got shipped off to monitor and protect these parades, but this was the big parade that I had to work every year. And you can see the cops on the left over there. And this is West Indian Day Parade area, St. Patrick's Day Parade. Actually, one time I was coming in the city with my wife, and this had to have been the Lord's intervention. The St. Patrick's Church, it was not St. Patrick's Day Parade. St. Patrick's Church had a law enforcement day, and just as I was walking past the church, all these cops were coming out, and I had brought some Bibles like I always do. I handed out 20 Bibles, and it was like, is this Catholic? No, it's not, but take one. And this is the Republican GOP convention back a few years ago. Again, wherever there's always something going on, there's always cops, and these are easy locations to visit. Now, as I tell some of the guys out, you know, down in Alabama and Ohio, these are some of the job positions in the NYPD. We've got the harbor unit, we got the motorcycle unit. These are things that I've never seen. I've never been on a police motorcycle, never been on a police boat. I've never been on a police horse. These are all usually the chief's kids and the captain's kids. Nepotism, I think they call it, but I worked in a patrol car, patrol. I wish I could ride in a police helicopter, but there's the Intrepid. But no, that's all different assignments in the NYPD. It's a good career. I would encourage anyone that's looking for a job, or if they're thinking about law enforcement, the NYPD is definitely a real good department with a lot of opportunities. Here's Shea Stadium. Last year I went to a Met game, brought 25 Bibles, and again, handing them right out within 10 minutes. And it's such an easy thing. I really love this ministry that the Lord has placed on my heart. This is the GOP convention right around the corner from Madison Square Garden. This is down in the financial district. Now, Wall Street's a big target area. And these guys, these are the ESU guys. They've got the flank jackets. I think, I don't know my guns that well. I think they're maybe M16s or M15s. They're really, really, you know, keeping that area secure. There's President George Washington on the right in the statue. That's me and the false prophet. I mean, Rudy Giuliani. And that's me with about 2 months to go. This guy was streaking at the time, and you can't do that in the city. So we placed him under arrest. That was my partner, Officer Wu. He was a real nice guy, and someone just grabbed a Polaroid, and I enjoyed patrol. I enjoyed riding the car, you know, pounding the streets. That was my calling. This is my last day on the job, a couple minutes to go before I retired. These are my two favorite officers. In fact, Officer Bucciari, he lives on Staten Island somewhere. Frank Bucciari, if you know him. Actually, I called him up a few months ago. I gave him a Bible, and you put him on your prayer list. And that's the little plaque I got when I retired. So now this is some ministry photos. This is what I get to do. I come in with my little plastic bag. I have one over here. Usually, I get to go in a police station, and there's different type of visits. One is like out in the field, like at some of those locations that I had showed you earlier. This is now a police station visit. I bring in my police packages. I go to the desk. I ask the sergeant or lieutenant. I just identify myself as retired lieutenant. I said, can I talk to the cops for a few minutes? I've never been turned down. And that's the good thing about being a retired guy. Sometimes, they don't have to. They could just say, no, you're not welcome. But so far, God's opened up every door, and I've never been turned down once. I usually get to speak for about 5 minutes, read a few passages, tell them that they're wicked and lost, God's good, and they belong in church. I don't fool around with these guys because they've heard and seen it all anyway. And actually, my oldest son, Josh, he came with me this day. He took the picture, so you can thank him. I usually go out by myself, so I don't have a whole lot of pictures. Just last year, I got a digital camera, and I've been taking some more pictures, which is kind of neat. And this is the end right here. At the end, I'd say, you know, officers, I'd just like to give you a Bible. And you'll see it here in a second. It's a King James Bible with some tracts, my card, a pen, some booklets. Sometimes if I print up some CDs or some preaching messages, I'll do that. Now, this is a guy I'd like to work with, you know. I don't think anybody would mess with us, but he took a Bible and he was real nice. Now, this officer was very, I don't know what the word is, but she said to me afterwards, she said, Lou, she says, I got 15 years on the job. This is the, and I guess you'd classify her as backslidden. She'd say, I'm Baptist, I'm a Christian, but I haven't been to church lately. But this is the first time I've ever seen anybody come in a police station and talk about Jesus and hand out some Bibles and literature. And she thanked me. And I told her about a Baptist church that I knew not too far from her house. And, you know, I never got a follow-up or anything. But, you know, it's nice to get a compliment every now and then. And that was the 8-4 precinct that I was at that day. That's in downtown Brooklyn, right off the BQE. This guy was coming in. He got a Bible. Then me and my son crossed the street. We went over to One Police Plaza. This is one of these security booths over here, and this is an officer. Again, just tapped on the glass, showed my retired ID card. He took a Bible. It was real nice. You know, one thing I'll say about the NYPD guys, you know, once you identify yourself as a retired guy, automatically that automatic wall that they built up is usually broken down. They might not agree with me. Most of these guys are Irish Catholic, Italian Catholic, but... You know, they're very open and receptive. And what I'm doing, I consider the ministry to be a seed planting ministry. I'm giving them Bibles, tracts, CDs, booklets, a web page, all different things. And I'm just hoping there's one day they'll say, you know what, I need to investigate, religion. Or what about Christianity? What about Baptist church? What about, and then boom, one day maybe they'll come in this church or another church. I got an email from an officer I never met last week. His name is Al. He said, please give me a call. I'd like to talk to you. I saw your website. I called him back. He says, can I call you back later? I'm busy. And I haven't heard from him since, but I'll probably do a follow-up call this week. I don't want to pester the guys, but I do like to, you know, follow up if I can. This is right by the Brooklyn Bridge, just about every bridge and tunnel. You'll see the cops there. Why? They're worried about the terrorists blowing up the bridges and tunnels and stuff. As I was talking to this guy, their friends came over and they got some Bibles too. See what that building is on the right, behind us? Anybody knows downtown Brooklyn? Watchtower, Jehovah Witness, World Headquarters. That's right by the Brooklyn Bridge is the New York City and Fire Department communications area. Again, it's a perimeter. It's security with police and stuff. And I just walked in, showed them my ID card, gave them a Bible, talked to them for a few minutes. This officer just finished his shift. And again, he got a Bible. This officer did not want to take a Bible. She's part of the new young generation that is brainwashed. Well, I don't know if I'm allowed to take a Bible. I don't think this is... Are you allowed to do this? And I'm like, this is still America. We're protected by the First Amendment. We can hand out Bibles. I tell them, I'm not a cult. All right, the spaceship's isn't coming. I don't want your money. That's what they think born-again, Bible-believing Christians are. You hand them a Bible and a tract, they think you're crazy. But we know that we're not. We're saved, and we just want to tell people about how they need the Lord Amen. Jesus Christ. This is me praying for the destruction of the Watchtower building. I'm not kidding. If I could tell the terrorists, if you're going to take out a building, take out this one, all right? And do it at 2 o'clock in the morning where there's nobody work, and I don't want to see Jehovah's Witnesses killed either, but I'd like to see some of them printing presses and some of them other building structures, knocked out for a while, because they are putting out a lot of bad stuff. This is neat. This is some new pictures. I'm not a big traveler. This is the first time I've ever been to Europe, but last Christmas into New Year's, me and my wife and younger son, we went to Germany for a week, for about 10 days, and this is a Berlin police department. It's kind of cold at the time. The lady on the left, she's freezing, but they were real nice. They gave my son a bear. They gave me a tour of the building. Very friendly, very friendly. This is another one. I don't want the Bible. She was on the other, she's on that through that bulletproof glass, and she didn't want to take one. And I'm like, would you please come out and take a Bible? And I could speak a little German, and I'm telling her to come out. And the German pastor that I was with, he's telling her, oh, come on, he just wants to give you a Bible, and he wants to give you a police pen and a police patch. And she finally came out. But that is called phony smile. I'm uncomfortable. But you know what? I pray that that's a German Bible, that she reads that Bible and she goes to this man's church, because Europe is post-Christian, it's humanist, it is dead. It is terrible over there. It's fun to visit and see the sights and whatnot, but no visible sign of Christianity. This is I wish this picture came out better. We've seen two Dresden, I'm in Dresden, this is Dresden Police Department. They were driving their car, we stopped them. I just showed my police ID, the guy jumped out of the car. He said, he gave me his gun, so in my left hand I'm holding his gun and his radio. They took a picture, and that's kind of the fraternal bond that you get with police officers, just like Paul was mending nets and talking to people about the Lord. There's a time to talk about the Lord, and there's time to talk about the job, and it's kind of neat that way. And these are the two officers. They took us in the police car. They took us to their station. They gave me a little pennant to hang up and a few other little trinkets, and I gave them some police New York City Police Department patches. They gave us a tour of the building, and I gave them the contact information for the German pastor there. And they haven't been to the church, but you just got to pray for these guys. And again, these were the guys with the car, and real neat. And again, a friend of the Police Baptist Ministries. That's me. That's the slideshow. I'll take a few questions if you'd like, and then I'll start preaching. All right. Anybody have any questions about me, the police department, ministry? Any questions? Okay. Just hold on a second. Let me raise this up a little bit. Yes.
Did your partner get saved?
My partner did not get saved. I gave him a Bible, and I've been retired now for 2 years, and I do talk to him on occasion. He's one of these guys, I have read the Bible a little bit, and, maybe I'll come to church someday. He's actually more open and receptive than most people, but again, no. I wish I could say I led him to the Lord, but I didn't. All right, before I start preaching, I'd just like the pastor to come up, and any police officer, active or retired, or corrections or federal, come on up for a second. I just want to acknowledge you, and I want to give you a little police package present. And all right. All right. Pastor Mike, I know you're not a police officer, but I want to officially deputize you as a friend to the police. And you are the New York City, Staten Island police officer contact here. So this is for you.
Thank you.
All right. And let's see. These are the same things that I give the police officers in the street. But you know what? I know you guys are safe, but I'd like to give one and just keep it for yourselves. And it gives you an idea of what I'm handing out here. Okay. Thanks a lot. So, amen. I know we don't need police officers in heaven, but we sure need them here. And I'll tell you, when I first started back in 1986, and some of the guys maybe my age or a little younger, older, back in those days in the 80s, remember, 2,000 homicides, graffiti everywhere, terrible, terrible, terrible. And the one thing, most New York City cops, and I made fun of Giuliani, we kind of don't like him. You know why? Because he didn't give us a raise. That's all. And you know what John the Baptist said? Don't complain about your wages. So I never did. I'll make fun of it and stuff. But he did something, and with Chief Commissioner Bratton and Kelly, they took advantage of the manpower and the statistics, and they formulated a strategy. And now they've cut it down to where there's around 500 homicides. There's less graffiti. I think there's a little bit better perception of police officers now. I think the relationship between police officers and the community is better. Yeah, we have, you know, things that happen once in a while, but I would just say that things have gotten better in that aspect. So I give Giuliani and even Mayor Bloomberg and the police commissioners a lot of credit, because they turned the department around, and they did. You know what? They did cut crime down. It's not perfect, but we need the police officers. So, all right. Now we start preaching. Let's turn our Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. All right, James chapter 1, we're going to read verses 1 through 16. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let not patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted, but the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. For the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace of the fashion. I'm going to have to start getting glasses. It's not me. I can't read. It's the print of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. All right, let's pray. Dear Father, it's good to be saved, and it's good to be in church, Lord. And just thank you for bringing these nice people here, Lord. Lord, just keep your hand on the meeting tonight, Lord. And just take Hank Anderson out of the way. Let me just say the things that you want to be said tonight, Lord. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here that's not saved, that they know that tonight is the night that they can get saved. I pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 All right. We see here, church, that James, a servant of the Lord, Jesus Christ, in chapter 1, is writing to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Now, Matthew Henry, in his commentary, calls these 12 tribes Jews of dispersion who had embraced the Christian faith. Now, I believe James, the author of this epistle, to be the half-brother of Jesus. Now, I know some people also teach that it may be James who was one of the 12 disciples, and that's actually the position of my seminary, Charity Baptist, but I kind of studied it, and this is my own opinion. You know, that's not going to determine whether we go to heaven or hell and who we think James is anyway, but I believe James to be the author of this epistle, to be the half-brother of Jesus. We call him the Lord's brother in Galatians chapter 1:19, and he is one of the pillars, again, in Galatians 2, verse 9. And it was James who gave the judgment of the apostles and elders of the church at Jerusalem in Acts chapter 15. He's even mentioned in a passage in Josephus, Jewish Antiquities. Now, Josephus is not inspired, but yet we can sort of read at some historical references and stuff. Some of it's good, some of it's not, but he's mentioned, the Jewish historian describes James as the brother of Jesus who is called Christ. Now, church tradition teaches that James was martyred in 62 A.D. by stoning. And that means they threw rocks at him until he died. It wasn't that they gave him too many drugs and he died that way. Okay. Now, we're going to look at verse 2 tonight. This is going to be my main thrust of the sermon. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. And I'm going to preach to you a little bit about temptation. Now, you see, temptation is different than testings or trials. You see, God tests us, and he'll put us through some trials, but he's not going to tempt us. But you say, why? Just look at verse 13 in chapter 1. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away from his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. I like how C.I. Schofield defines temptation. It's a solicitation to do evil. All right? Schofield says, temptation is a solicitation to do evil. Genesis chapter 3 is a good example of this. In fact, let's turn to Genesis chapter 3. We'll see an example of temptation. And we're just going to read Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, just in these six verses, we see here in verse 1, the temptation, the implied doubt of the benevolence or goodness of God. Okay? And in verses 2 and 3, we see adding to the word of God. We're not to add to God's word. Verse 4, we see the first lie. We see that lying is a sin. See that solicitation to do evil. Okay, we see lying. Verse 5, the appeal to pride. In 6 and 7, the fall occurs, and well, that's why we're here right now. The devil solicited Eve to sin against God, and she and Adam sinned and died spiritually. Now let's give an example of God's testing. All right, God tested David when he asked him not to number, all right, the children of Israel. Now, is counting people in and of itself a sin? No, but God didn't want David to count, to put a number on them. Why? Because God wanted David to count on God and not on how many people he had. But what happened? David numbered them. He failed the test. Okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts." That's what God does. He tries our hearts. He tests us. He puts us through some trials, but he's not going to tempt us. You know, God might test you someday. He may send you $1,000 in the mail this week. Why? He just wants to see how you're going to spend it. You're going to take that $1,000 and run to PC Richards and Yahoo and get a big 52-inch LCD screen TV and a big stereo system and the speakers and sign up for cable. Next thing you know, you owe $4,500 instead of $1,000. You're going to pay 20% interest. And God sent you $1,000. You didn't give anything to missions. You didn't give anything to church. You didn't see if anyone in the church is in need. You know what? God might not send you any more money. And I believe we've got tons of examples of people that God has sent money unexpectedly, and they've done the right thing with it. Next time God sends you some money, think about the church. Think about missions. Think about helping out a missionary, okay? The devil will always get you in trouble and sin, but not God. He loves you and cares for you. Amen? Amen. All right. Let's look at, going back to James, let's look at James 1:14 and 15. "But every man is tempted, and when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." Here we see temptation plus failure plus sin equals death, all right? When you get tempted, don't fail. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Amen. I just want to bring out a few things out about temptation, okay? The first thing about temptation, okay, thing about temptation is it's a chance to do right and not do wrong. You know what the problem is automatically? When we're tempted, it's like, well, I'll just sin. It's like, yeah, here comes a pretty girl. I just failed. I was tempted and I failed. Who says I have to do? Who says I have to look, go back and lust? Why can't I just say, God, don't let me lust. I pray for that woman's soul and that's it. Walk away. All right. Being in the police department, some of you guys, it's actually a joke. Some of the rookies and some of the cops, when they're tempted with adultery and liquor and lying to their wives, it's ha ha ha. Don't worry about it. She's not going to know nothing. And they think it's a joke and they think it's funny. And they fail at temptation every time. But what I'm here to tell you is that when you're tempted, James says to count it all joy and to do right, not do wrong. Okay? Look at verse 16. He gives us a warning. "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Don't err. Don't do wrong. Okay? You know, some of your family members, they tempt you. Okay? They tempt you. All right? They think you're crazy. Why? Because you go to church 3 or 4 times a week. Okay? Because you give the church 10% of your money. I think that's a good deal. Right? God lets us keep 90%, and he just wants 10%. I think that's a good deal. They think you're crazy. Oh, Sunday school. Oh, Sunday night. Oh, Wednesday night. Okay? I've heard this 1,000 times, my own parents. You must be in a cult. I'm in a cult because I read my Bible, I go to church, I fellowship with God's people, and I want to see that the lost get saved. That's not a cult. Okay, Jehovah's Witnesses, that might be a cult, but not First Bible Church, and neither is any good Bible-believing church. They tempt you. They tempt you to stay home. Oh, we got a family picnic. We got a family barbecue on Sunday. Yeah, just get there around 11, 11:30. So you miss church. And then, oh, you can go to the evening service. And what happens? You eat too many, you know, hamburgers and hot dogs. And what happens? You fall asleep. You get tired. You miss Sunday night service. All right, they tempt you. Okay. Let's go to the ball game. The Mets are playing, the Yankees. I got free tickets. They tempt you. It's always on Sunday. I'm telling you, Sunday is the Lord's day. There's nothing wrong with going to church, going to Sunday school, fellowshipping with God's people, taking that little Sunday afternoon nap. You don't got to go to Walmart, Kmart, or anything. Stand 2 hours in a line to save 20 cents on toilet paper just so you got a special on Sunday. You don't have to do that. I quit that shopping stuff a long time ago. Now, I'm not going to say I'm a legalist. I'll go to a restaurant, I'll eat once in a while, but for the most part, Sunday is not my run around and do errand day. Sunday is church, family, fellowship, Sunday nap, Sunday night church, go home and relax and just, hey, tomorrow's Monday and that's work, okay? Peter was tempted and denied Jesus 3 times. Doesn't mean that you got to be tempted and fail the Lord, all right? David was tempted and failed, not with the counting of the people, but look what happened when he lusted after Bathsheba. He was lusted. He coveted another man's wife. He committed murder. And you know what? After all that was said and done, you don't really hear Bathsheba mentioned that often, but boy, God sure beats up David a lot through a good part of the Bible. And let me tell you something about Bathsheba and that whole bad story. I read this in some commentaries in some books. You know what they did back in those old Bible days? They put their bathtub on top of their house, and they filled up their bathtubs with water in the morning so the sun would heat the water during the day, and the women and even men would take baths at night. That's how they did that, okay? And I'm sure David, he had to go on the top of his castle, and he probably had to climb on a tree, and he had to sneak a peek, and he lusted, and he did wrong, and he failed. One time I was in the police department, and I was not there, but I heard a story. Two guys responded to a house, and the lady said, oh, my next-door neighbor's sunbathing in the nude. And the cop said, they looked out the window, and they said, I can't see. She said, no, you got to get on the chair, you got to put two telephone books, and then you could see over, okay? Yeah. Now, I'm not saying, I'm not supporting the guy sunbathing nude. That's wrong, too, but people are sneaky, and they get tempted, and they fail, and even women can lust, too, all right? Temptation can make you better and not bitter, all right? Just like in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. You know what's another thing about temptation? It's a chance to prove your love for Jesus Christ. When you've done right, you've just done that, okay? Joshua 23:11 says, take good heed thereof unto yourselves that ye love the Lord your God. And when you've done right, you're clean, you're holy, you're faithful, you're righteous, you're joyful. Why? Because you just did right, you're following him, and you're loving him. That's why James says to count it all joy when you fall into temptations. You can show God the Father, God the Son, God the Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit that you love them by doing right. Temptation, it's also a chance to disappoint the devil, all right? It's a chance to grow with God, and it's a chance to say, get thee behind me, Satan, okay? It's a chance to say to the devil, it's not going to work. It's going to take a lot more money. It's going to take something a lot more bigger to get me to do wrong. And I'm not going to do wrong. I'm going to do right because I love the Lord Jesus Christ, and I don't like the devil, and I don't want to make the devil happy. Some of us were tempted today. You know, going back to our family, let's turn it on you and me. How about the snooze alarm? Oh, 8 o'clock. I'll sleep for 2 hours. I'll miss Sunday school. We'll get some bagels. We'll make the 11 o'clock service. All right? I don't know how many blessings you can miss just going to Sunday school. All right? It's good to hear preaching, but it's also good to hear some teaching. Okay? This is a new thing. Because of gas is expensive and traffic and whatnot, people actually start a trip, and if they get stuck, they turn back. I've heard this is like a new phenomenon all of a sudden. They want to go somewhere, but because they're stuck in traffic, they turn back. All right? Just driving from my house to here, I left at 4 o'clock. And I used to work in Bensonhurst for 8 years. I got stuck by JFK. I got stuck trying to get on to Verrazano. I got stuck in the Staten Island Expressway. Okay? But you know what? That's the devil's traffic, but that's all right. God got me here on time. Amen? It's a chance to say, I'm not for sale. I'm going with God, and I'm going to disappoint the devil. I'm going to disappoint the world, and I'm going to disappoint the flesh. All right? James chapter 4, verse 7 and 8 says, submit yourselves thereof to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and you know what? He will draw nigh to you. I added my own words. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. The closer you are to God, you know what? The farther you're away from the devil. You ever watch those animal shows? I watch a little TV. I'm wicked, you know. But you ever watch those animal shows? That lion, that tiger, that bear, he always pounces on that little baby or that old sickly animal that sort of wandered off from the majority of the pack. All right? We stay close to God's people. Stay in his house. Stay involved in the church. And that, just like the devil, that roaring lion will pounce on you. He'll see a weak spot, something in your lives, and that's what will happen. He'll pounce on you. But James, our friend here, says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. It's also an opportunity to prove the scriptures. Everyone's tempted. We're tempted every day. But God's provided us the answer. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. There's no temptation that can overtake you, all right? And you know what? God is faithful, and God will not suffer you. God's provided a way of escape, and God's provided a way to bear it. Now, I'm sure you're asking me, what are some of those ways that we can escape temptation? Well, I'm glad you asked, all right? What's one thing that we could do to escape temptation? Well, the first thing we can do is flee. All right? We can run. All right? 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. All right? Martin Luther King once said, if you can't fly, then run. Just keep moving. All right? As a man, as a cop, the temptation of lust and fornication and adultery, it's always there. And Paul says, flee, run. I'm not a handsome guy, but I've been hit on a few times in my life. And run. All right? There's nothing wrong. You got to pick it up. Run. What's another thing you can do? How about quoting scripture correctly? All right? You know, like in the movies, doing that cross thing, that's not going to stop the devil, okay? But quoting scripture will. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Then was Jesus led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. Here's that temptation again of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Those written words, they come from God. Amen. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against the stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain and sheweth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him. And behold, angels came and ministered unto him. You know, if the devil's cornering me or cornering you, I'm gonna have to quote scripture, and if I can't escape, okay? Matthew 4:10-11, okay? Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. That's from Deuteronomy 8, chapter 8, verse 3. He also quotes Deuteronomy 8:3 and again in verse 4. And he quotes Deuteronomy 6:16 and in verse 7. Well, what else you got to do? Sometimes you just got to roll up the sleeves and you got to fight the devil, all right? But you're not going to fight by yourself. You're going to put on that whole armor of God. You're going to put on the breastplate and the helmet and the sword and the shield and the feet, shod feet. And it's just me and you, God, we got to fight this. But I'm counting on the Lord to fight my victory, all right? Just like in Pilgrim's Progress, the pilgrim won the victory because he counted on the Lord. Okay, and if you notice, none of that stuff was nothing for the back. Why? Because we're not to retreat. You know what? Christianity today, we're spoiled, we're crybabies, and we're not fighters. Okay? You know what this tells me? What's going on with society and how God's been kicked out of the schools and the courthouse and all this agendas and evil groups that are taking over. That just means the Lord's coming. I know it. It just means he's coming sooner than we think. But we should fight. We got to fight. I don't want my kids to be taught evolution and alternate lifestyles and all these other things. We don't need that. Sometimes we just got to fight. All right? Billy Sunday single-handedly got the alcohol prohibition in the 1920s. Why? Because he had God on his side. He put on that whole armor of God, and he got things right. And they mocked him when they got rid of liquor. But that country was our country was much better without liquor. Amen? Amen. All right? Temptation is also an opportunity to build character. You know, they say you learn from your mistakes, which is true, but how many family members, how many buddies, how many friends have you hurt? The emotional scar. Yeah, you've apologized, things are better, but it seems like it's always going to be there. How about just doing it God's way without causing any pain, and you'll get a blessing, okay? Yeah, doing it the right way by building character. Okay, you know what? We're lacking character today. Character's not being taught. All right? I feel bad for the new police officers. I feel bad for school teachers. I feel bad for pastors. They demonize pastors. They think they're crazy pedophile knuckleheads, and we know that they're not. Some of them, we know who they are, but they demonize everybody. Character's not being taught in today's schools, in today's house. I believe a man should work and take care of his family. Amen? It's in the Bible, okay? You know, when I preached in Germany, I preached the morning service, and a woman was there with her 5 children, and I mentioned that a man should work and take care of his family. The evening service, she brought a husband there. And I said to the pastor, oh, it's nice you brought a husband. Oh, once you mentioned about a man working and take care of his family, you hit a home run with her. They have such a social system in Germany because they have 5 children. It's actually cheaper for him to stay home, collect a check for the 5 kids than it is for him to get a full-time job. The last job he had was he swept the floors in a school, and that lasted 3 days. And now he's collecting, like, I don't know, $1,500 a month or something for just to stay home. It's not right. My son's in the Navy. The Navy's teaching him character, waking up early, taking orders, doing things you don't want to do, all right? Doing things as a team, all right? Doing things in bad weather, but it's building character. And I thank the police officers. I've got a little sub-ministry whenever I see a military guy or gal. They get a Bible, too. It's the same thing, but they get one, too. And I'm really grateful for the armed forces, all right? How about Christian workers in the ministry, preachers and teachers and visiting people in hospitals? You know, when you do the Lord's work, that builds character too. It's not just coming to church, but it's also doing some church stuff, visiting people in hospitals, handing out tracts, street preaching. There's all sorts of different ways. You find what the Lord wants you to do and just start doing it, okay? People that don't have character, you know how they succeed? They lie, cheat, steal, murder. They get what they want, but that doesn't build character. You know what builds character? Saying no to the devil and doing it God's way, all right? Parents, this is the part in the sermon where I usually might strike a chord here. Parents, teach your sons to grow up to be men, all right? And teach your daughters to grow into women, okay? Let your boys be boys, all right? Make them tough like a man. Get them a boy's haircut, all right? Boys aren't supposed to be cute, all right? Girls are, all right? When I was a kid, if you called me cute, I might have punched you in the nose, all right? Girls are supposed to be cute. You know what? Dress a girl like a lady, and you know what? She'll act like a lady. You dress a girl like Madonna and Britney Spears, yeah, she'll be a prostitute. She'll be married 3 times. She'll take drugs, and she'll bring a whole generation of young women down on her, all right? And parents, don't be intimidated by today's clothing, all right? What's up with these baggy pants? I see these kids, they're a size 30, and they wear a size 48. They got the earring, the hat backwards, and you know what? They're handicapped. They're handicapped. They can't get a job. They can only work with one hand because they're walking like this the whole time, you know? They're handicapped. No, remember, parents, it's your money. You buy the kids the right clothing, all right? Don't get worldly and wicked and all this other stuff. It's this whole clothing thing is really bad. You know what? Remember that story in Florida? This was maybe 8 years ago. It was a family in Florida. The parents just asked the kids to clean their rooms, and they wouldn't do it. This was a simple thing. And you know what the parents did? They went on strike. They said, we're not going to feed you. And what they do, they went out to Denny's and McDonald's, just the husband and wife. And after about 3 or 4 days, you know what the kids did? They started cleaning their rooms, all right? You work, you eat. That's in the Bible too, okay? You know, kids complaining about filling the dishwasher. How about actually if they had to wash the dishes, all right? My wife asked me to fill out the dishwasher. I remember for the first time, I was like, oh, I don't want to do that. Finally, I did it one time, like, this is like the easiest thing in the world. I can do this. I can rinse it out, put it in the dishwasher. I don't got to sit there for 2 hours. No, thank God for the dishwasher, all right? You know, when I was a kid, my dad never told me, you know, Henry, come on the couch and let's reason. Would you mind raking the leaves in the backyard, perhaps? And, you know, maybe, and I'll give you $20, you know. He said, Henry, go rake out the leaves and put them in the garbage can. I said, okay, Dad. All right, that's not done today. Put your kids to work. Don't make them a slave, but give them responsibility, give them character, let them do things. If they've got character when they're a teenager, you know what? They're going to have character when they're an adult. That's the problem. I took my oldest son. I told you before, when I was a cop for 20 years, I worked a midnight shift. All right, I went home and I cut lawns 5 days a week. Yeah, we were underpaid. I didn't complain about it. So when I got a business, I took out my son when he was 16. He cut lawns with me in the summertime. It built character in him. And my son, he turned 16 this July. He might get a pair of gloves and a rake for his birthday present, all right, because I'm taking him out too. Cheap labor, but also builds character. They interact with the public. They take orders from their dad. They perform manual labor. They got to learn how to do that stuff because when they're adults, I read in the paper just the other day, this was on the news, companies don't want to hire college kids. They'd rather hire retired senior citizens. You know why? The college kids don't want to work nights, don't want to work weekends, don't want to do hard manual labor. They want to sit behind a computer and do something and make 20 bucks an hour. That's what they want to do. All right? That's why when you go to McDonald's, you see more old people than you do younger people because they don't want to hire younger people anymore. All right? But when you do right, that builds character. Temptation is also a chance to practice self-discipline, all right? Say no. It's very simple. No, N-O. Remember Nancy Reagan, President Reagan's wife back in the 80s? Just say no to drugs. People laughed at that, and you know what? That was some of the most practical, biblical advice you could ever say. Yeah, you know, nowadays we sort of, you know, do the psychological thing. Well, just saying no isn't really helpful. No, say no to drugs. Say no to premarital sex. Say no to liquor. Say yes to studying. Say yes to obeying your parents. Say yes to going to church. That is such practical advice. And they laughed at her and, you know, we got a drug problem, right? Proverbs 25:28 says, he that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. I'm sorry, flesh. Today, I'm not running with you. I'm not running with my drinking buddies. I'm not running with the world. I'm staying with God. And when you're doing that, you're practicing self-discipline. And that proves that you're a child of God. And when we think temptation, we usually think it negatively. But just like James says, count it all joy when you fall into temptation. And when you're a Christian, you know, when you're a Christian, the devil's going to tempt you with some things that he would not have had you not been saved. All right, say you're a Christian, you got some big problems in your life, and you know what you decided to do? You decided to pray, and you decided to fast, like a real fast. I'm going to pray and fast, and Lord, help me with this situation. And what happens? You know, your son comes in with a 30-pack box of White Castle burgers, you know, and you're tempted to eat, okay? No, that's the devil's going to tempt you to eat when you should be fasting. All right, how about Bible reading? I don't understand people. They want to read their Bibles 5 minutes before they go to sleep. And you know what happens? They read three words, they fall asleep, Mr. Sandman's hit them, the Bible's falling on the ground. Take care of that Bible. How about praying? How about praying a few times a day when you're alert, when you're awake, when you got things going on in your life? Pray to God. Okay? It's a time to keep that old stinking flesh under subjection. Remember, God's provided a way of escape, as I mentioned in 1 Corinthians 10:13. And in 1 Timothy 6:9 and 10 says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They that erred from the faith and pierced themselves through many sorrows." They erred from the faith. Okay, again, temptation, foolish lusts equal destruction. All right, you don't have to fail temptation. Remember, if God can trust you with money, He'll give you some. All right? And God will give His people if you use it right and invest it in God's work, invest it in missions, invest it in the church. God's blessed many people here in the Northeast with a nice income. I got a nice pension. I got a nice business. I make sure I give God what He deserves. Okay? Temptation, finally, is a chance to show others that you're a Christian. You know, when I was lost in my late teens and my early 20s, I was wicked. I drank alcohol. I was a sinner. And you know what my family, friends, and coworkers thought? They thought I was quite normal. Let's go out drinking tonight, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. By Monday, you have no money, okay? But when I got saved, all right, when I got saved, things changed. I started going to church three times a week, start reading my Bible and would carry it under my arms and show people, all right? Started giving God, all right, my money and not the devil. You know, the devil in those days, he used to take 90% through the bars and the food and the dance and all this stuff, and he'd let me keep 10%, which usually a tank of gas, and I get two lunches, and then by Wednesday, I was asking my dad for 20 bucks, all right? But now that I'm saved, God gets 10%. He lets me keep 90%. That's the best deal ever. And like I said before, amen. That's the best deal. Like I said before, my family, when I got saved, "You're a Baptist?" I was brought up Lutheran. And back in those days, Jerry Falwell and Billy Graham were kind of the famous Baptists. "You're a Baptist? You're in a cult. You're a Bible thumper." Well, if I'm a Bible thumper, then that's what I'm going to be, all right? Amen. Finally, a few things about temptation. We're to count it all joy, James said in chapter 1, verse 2. And remember, temptation does not come from God, as James said in chapter 1:13-14. The devil is the author of temptation in Matthew chapter 4. And 1 Peter chapter 1:6-7 says it's a trial of our faith. And remember what Jesus said in Luke 22, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." It's a little different than what James says, but it's just a different perspective. James says to count it joy, knowing that if you're with God, you'll get through it. But Jesus kind of knows that we are weak and can fail and knows what happens when we sin. All right? Pray that you enter not. It's just a different perspective. Well, church, I'm going to close on this last point. There's two great temptations that we are faced with in our lives now. The first one is this. If you're a born-again Christian, you're saved, you know you're going to heaven, you're eternally bought, you love Jesus, you know what the devil's going to tempt you with now? To do absolutely nothing. He'll keep you in the pew, all right? Go to Sunday morning. Hey, the devil believes in God. He'll let you believe in God. But to go to church on Sunday night? Nah, go watch the Met game, all right? What a Yankee game, all right? Wednesday night, I'd rather work some overtime or something. Oh, Saturday, having a cleanup at the church. Well, that's the day I sleep in. You know, the devil will be happy with you being a born-again Christian and doing absolutely nothing. Handing out tracts. Oh, that's for them crazy people doing the street corner on Saturday mornings, okay? You know, tithing? Oh, I put a few bucks in. That should be good enough. Praying? Nope. Reading your Bible? Nah, I'll let the preacher read my Bible for me. Fellowshipping with God's people? It's sad, but some Christians have more friends out in the world than they do in the church. I do not get. I made that separation a long time ago. I just said, you know what, I got to work with people, I got to deal with people and stuff, but when it comes to going out and doing things, and I'd rather go to a church Friday night spaghetti dinner, and it may be the worst spaghetti ever, but I'd rather have day-old spaghetti with God's people and the fellowship, knowing that there's no pornography, there's no liquor, there's no smoking, drinking, all that crazy stuff, and I hear a nice little Bible devotional, and I could trust these people with my kids, all right? I'd rather be with God's people anytime, all right? That's lacking today. These church splits, people fighting, this one, don't shake my hand, and you know what? I'd say 90% of all church problems could be solved with just, how you doing, brother? I haven't talked to you in a while. Let's move on, and that's it. It's just a handshake and a hug or something. You know what the second great temptation is? If you're not a Christian, now, if you're not a Christian and you're visiting, but you're interested in Christianity, you sort of believe in God, you're not sure, but you know what the great temptation is that the devil's telling you to do? Put it off later. All right? You're a young man. You're a young woman. You got college. You got a career ahead of you. You got to take care of the kids. I'll let you get saved when you're in your 60s or 70s. You know what? You talked about that guy Sam. You know what? We got to pray for this guy because a deathbed conversion is this man's only hope tomorrow. And that's the exception, not the rule. Most people, when they're old or whatever, on their deathbed, it don't happen. Or usually they're unconscious and not able to respond. Okay? If you're a young person or an old person and you're not saved, I want to let you know that today's the day that you can get saved. Do not put it off. Just go try driving on the Staten Island Expressway. All right? These buses, they run you over. You can get shot. Anything can happen. There's no guarantee that we're going to be here tomorrow. Let me just tell you that. But I want to let you know that today's the day that you can get saved. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 says, "Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Amen? Amen. All right. Well, would you like to get saved today? Well, I'm glad you asked. And it's pretty simple. All right? And I'll tell you, first thing you should do is just be honest to yourself and admit that you're a sinner. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. And you should be willing to repent and turn from your sin. And in Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it says, "And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And you should believe in God's gift to us. That's the Lord Jesus Christ." And in John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And finally, through prayer, invite Jesus Christ into your life and become your Savior. All right, Romans 10:13. You know, in the police department, we all know what 10:13 means, right? 10:85, police code means, "I need help." Say there's two cars in an accident, and the police car will say, "I need a 10:85. I need some help. Usually things are under control," and another car will come over and help them out. But when a cop says 10:13, you know what that means? Someone's beating me up or someone's shooting at me. Send the cavalry. I need help. And in Romans 10:13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And we can do that. You have a piano player? You want to just come on up and play a little something soft? We're going to close it out now with an invitation. I'd just like everybody to bow their heads and with their eyes closed. And I'd just like you to know that if you're not saved, all right, I just like you know that you can get saved today. And you could perhaps say something like this, and I'd also encourage you to talk to the pastor later on or come forward, talk to me, talk to the pastor. But you could say something, "Dear God, I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. And I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. And I am willing to turn from sin. And I now invite Jesus to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior." And if you've prayed that prayer, you can come forward now or you can talk to the pastor later. I just like you to know that today is the day of salvation. Now, if you're saved and you're on God's team and you love the Lord and you just say, "Brother Hank, I got a rough week this week. I got a boss that don't like me. I got bills to pay. I've got sick family members or whatever." I just ask you to raise your hand and I'll pray for you right now. If you've got any situations going on in your life that you'd like prayer for, we could do that. All right? And if you're not saved, amen. I see that hand. All right. I'm going to pray now. Dear Father, just thankful. It's good to be saved and it's good to be in church, Lord. And I just ask you that you bless the hands that were raised, Lord, that you help them in their situations, Lord. You're the great physician and healer, that you can do this, Lord. And I pray and ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you, church. Okay, Pastor.
Without sin, and whatever you and I are going through, we know we just got to get to Jesus Christ, and we're going to always obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Thank you, brother. That was good tonight. Appreciate the message. If you want to know more information about this brother's ministry,
I'll go by the table.
There's some things up here. Check out the table. I think there's some cards there, prayer cards, business cards.
Working on the prayer cards. Yeah, mini prayer cards.
And also, we'd like to be a blessing to him tonight, too. So, I don't know, one of you guys go up and, if you would, I don't see him basketball.